Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Gear at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Jason, we have to begin with you this week. You told us it would happen, and it did. They have reached a deal on marijuana in New York, and they will finalize that next week. But the Empire State about to become the 15th state to legalize adult-use marijuana. I know a lot of people are concerned about this, including you. Tell us why.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, New York State is going the way of the weed right now, and we're concerned about that. But I want to remind listeners that it is never over until it's over. Now, while a deal has been struck, there is an opportunity that a vote still has to be taken. And so if you're concerned about recreational marijuana impacting, you know, future generations of New Yorkers and what it's going to do to even the present generation, then you can contact legislators. Let them know your opposition. That vote has not yet happened, but it is due to happen next week.
Yeah, again, this is the time to act right now because there's so much at stake with this one. You think about impaired driving. You think about drug addiction. You think about all of it. This is all on the line in Albany. Big news in Washington, and it has to do with your former health secretary, Michael, Rachel Levine, the first transgender official to hold a post in the federal government. She was confirmed mostly on a party line vote to serve as the assistant health secretary. Talk about rewarding bad behavior here, Michael. She is still under the gun in Pennsylvania for how they handled the nursing home crisis there with COVID-19.
Yeah, this appointment by Biden of Secretary Levine to this post in the federal government was all about identity politics. I mean, we're seeing that with numerous appointments by the Biden administration and other Democrat politicians. The fact is, Secretary Levine is under investigation in Pennsylvania. The track record on vaccines, on COVID, and nursing homes, among other things, suggests that there's no reason this appointment should be made. We do want to, though, salute and thank Senator Toomey for his no vote in this confirmation this week.
Yeah, scandal-scarred Governor Cuomo, another one with the prioritizing of the COVID testing for his brother, his sister, and his mother. It seems to no end with the governor, Jason, but the Assembly Judiciary Committee chairman says when it comes to impeachment, we're talking months here, not weeks. Explain, if you would, how things are progressing in Albany.
Well, progressing may be a strong word, to be honest. You know, Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie controls this process right now. And this appears to be a case of Hastie's hesitation, as he is really slow rolling this impeachment process. You know, if this goes months and months, perhaps, as the speaker is suggesting, then it's going to likely mean the governor does retain his position. He does not resign. He is not forced to step aside. He may not run for re-election, but he will continue to fill out his term. What could happen is if the impeachment proceeding moves quickly, as soon as that launches, the governor is sidelined. Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul would step in as the acting governor. That's the process that should be unfolding for the protection of those even currently serving in the administration, as there are new allegations of now sexual harassment against current employees.
Do you think that the wheelers and dealers in Albany are using the threat of impeachment as kind of like a hammer against the governor to force him to lurch far left in the final days of budget negotiations?
Well, what's our axiom here all the time is to look at things through the lens of politics. Yeah. And again, we have a budget where the governor is traditionally strong, and now the legislature, newly empowered, has the governor over a barrel. He's twisting in the wind, and they can get virtually whatever they want in this budget by cutting deals with him behind closed doors. I expect that's what's happening right now.
Well, you knew this would happen, Michael. The latest mass shooting has revved up the gun control debate, and it's alive and well in Harrisburg as well. Ceasefire PA hosting an online forum this week. Would more gun control have prevented the shootings that we've seen recently in places like Boulder and Atlanta?
Well, we've already seen that is not going to be the case. I mean, with gun control laws that exist in many cities across the country, those kinds of situations result in criminals having guns and good behaving people who are gun owners not being able to protect themselves. So these kinds of discussions and pushes for control come after mass shootings, which are terrible tragedies, and there needs to be things to look at related to mental health and other things. But gun control is not going to be the answer to these situations.
Yeah, you knew that debate could happen. You can pretty much write the script when these things happen. Jason, a lot of talk in New York's 23rd Congressional District. Of course, Congressman Tom Reed not going to run for governor and not going to seek re-election. And this is happening as the state gets ready to redistrict to do that thing they call gerrymandering. A lot of folks are saying, will that district be dissolved? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to call right now because the Democrats will control the process, but it is likely they're going to want to carve up some Republican districts. And with New York losing one or two congressional seats, I could easily see that district being a little more eaten up by New York 27, where Chris Jacobs currently serves, or the New York 24, the Katko seat. If you spread that around a little bit, maybe even the Tenney seat, you know, you have fewer Republicans, and that helps the Democrat enrollment advantage here. So I think that could be the situation.
Yeah. Big announcement this week, Michael, in Harrisburg, when it comes to alternative energy. The governor wants to make Pennsylvania the solar energy capital of America. Is this a smart investment, or is this nothing more than a green new sham there in Pennsylvania?
They may have some neighbors who have solar panels on their roofs and things like that, so I think there is some viability to solar energy generally. But when the government gets involved, we've seen with Solyndra out in California with massive amounts of government money coming in to promote these things, it doesn't work out, except that friends of the governor or friends of the politicians get wealthy in doing it, but it doesn't really advanced energy independence. The other part of it is just very simply that Pennsylvania is an energy strong state with things like fracking and natural gas and coal and oil. And that's where our money should be spent.
Yeah, and when you think of all those things you just said, why in the wide world of sports is gasoline over $3 a gallon in a state like Pennsylvania? Makes no sense.
Taxes.
Yeah, big time. And I saw that Wallet Hub survey, like you probably did as well. Jason, while we're talking dollars and cents, the gambling industry looking to cash in, you know, with the March Madness basketball tournament going on, that's a huge one for gamblers. But they are looking into cash in from this almost $200 billion state budget. How so?
Well, you know, there's a number of things that is happening here in the budget regarding gambling. There has been a proposal to legalize 3 new casinos in New York City. It looks like that's being sidelined at this point, but there is still much talk of the online mobile sports betting, which we believe would be a violation of the Constitution, and yet it looks like the legislature is poised to do it. Additionally, now the existing casinos are asking for tax breaks. And it's interesting that we portray the casinos as being economic development for the state, but then at the first sign of trouble, they're asking for tax breaks. So there's a hypocrisy when it comes to what casino means for economic development in the Empire State.
And then finally, let's talk a little faith under fire here, Michael. The school district in our listening area, Montrose, which is just south of Binghamton, New York, it was recently strong-armed by the Freedom From Religion Foundation into ending recitations of the Lord's Prayer before school board meetings. The Montrose Area School District caving in here to this pressure. Is there legal precedent for that school to offer such a public prayer?
Well, kind of. I've talked to our attorneys at the Independence Law Center about this, and what they say is there's a kind of a bad ruling from the Third District Court of Appeals on the issue of prayer. So it's a challenging issue in terms of taking it through the courts. We do have some creative ideas about how prayer can be done in school board settings, something that one of our attorneys, Jeremy Samick, has done. He was a school board member and came up with some creative ways to do it in the Third District. So we're going to try to help the Montrose school districts and other school districts that want to maintain prayer to do it in creative ways until we can get a good Supreme Court ruling that will fix it.
Of course, there was a Supreme Court ruling in Greece, New York, but that had to do with a town sponsored prayer, not a school sponsored prayer. So they're a little different, correct?
Yes.
All right. And if you want more information about that case, I'm sure a lot of folks do. Michael, there is a wonderful website that folks can go to. What is that, sir?
PAfamily.org.
Stay informed on all the issues in Albany. The final days of budget negotiations. Jason, your site, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.